I want to speak to you just at the close of 2021 and into 2022 for about 4 or 5 weeks on a theme that I believe the Holy Spirit's laid on my heart. And it's the idea of adjustments. Adjustments. Say adjustments. And it really speaks to us today. Today is called strategic life adjustments. Because you have to be willing to change if you're going to grow in the days and years to come if Jesus tarries. Because many people do resist change. They just don't want to change. Change isn't easy. Some people hold on to the old habits and they say something like this. You finish the phrase with me. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. But you know what I would say to that? None of you are dogs, and we're not talking about tricks. We're talking about living in the kingdom of God for the glory of God today at the close of 2021. And if Jesus doesn't come back this week, into 2022. And I want us not to fear it. I want us to embrace it. I've entitled the message today, Strategic, because strategy, Gracie will tell you, is really a military term. Based upon what the enemy is doing or the opponent is doing, you strategize to be able to be victorious. If you ever watch in basketball, I'm a basketball guy, played in high school and 4 years in college. Fact of the matter is, whenever a good coach calls a timeout based upon maybe the momentum is swinging towards the team, many times before he or she ever talks to their team, they'll converse with the other assistant coaches and ask, what are you seeing? What do you think we ought to do? And the best coaches are people that can make halftime or in-game adjustments. Tom Izzo is as good as anybody at Michigan State about making in-game adjustments. You and I don't want us to fear adjustments. I want us to recognize we need to make them. But the fact of the matter is, they can be a positive change within our lives. Think about this for a moment. I looked up the definition. We know centenarians are people that live to be 100. But there's a small group that are super centenarians. And these are people that have lived to be 110 years and older. Not many of them, but they state, doctors will state, to hit 100 today is good. It's great, but it's even greater in there fewer people that reach 110. Super centenarians. Think about this. Go back 110 years with us, if you will. 110 years ago, right around 1910 or 11, if you will, the average life expectancy in the U.S. was only 47 years of age, compared to about 78 years today. 110 years ago, 14% of homes had a bathtub. 8% of the homes had a telephone. It cost $11 for a 3-minute long distance call from Denver, Colorado to New York City. The average wage was 22 cents per hour. So that 3-minute phone call would have cost about 50 hours of work to be able to make. In 1907, ladies, think of this. Women washed their hair about once a month with either borax or egg yolk for shampoo. Don't you feel better already? 110 years ago, there were only 8,000 cars in America and 141 miles of paved road and a maximum speed limit in most cities of 10 miles per hour. 95% of babies were born at home, and only 6% of Americans were high school graduates. In 1907, there were 230 murders reported in the entire United States. Chicago alone had 774 in 2020. And this may blow your mind, but 110 years ago, true story, more people were moving from the U.S. to Mexico than Mexico to the U.S. I am encouraging you not to fear adjustments in 2022. If you do, you're going to be fearful because there's going to be more changes around about us, and they're going to come faster and faster. But as followers of Jesus Christ, hear me, we need to be willing to adapt and adjust our lives in changing times, because why? We serve and we follow an unalterable, immutable God that loves us and cares for us, and he is already into tomorrow, and we can trust him. As we think about change and adjustment, this morning I want you to go to a little known Old Testament character. Some of you would understand her life, but I want you to do a case study with me on a woman by the name of Naomi. And her story is found in a delightful little book called Ruth. I want you to turn there with me if you would. And if you've never discovered the story of Ruth, you know what I call you? Ruthless. How about that? That was your joke for the end of the year. How about? Here's the background, okay? Naomi is originally from Israel. Say Israel. She's Jewish. But during a famine, her husband moved Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, into a community or a nation or a country called Moab, godless people. While there, the boys married two local girls. What were their names? Orpah and Ruth. Parenthetically, this is also accurate. If Orpah's name sounds vaguely familiar to a celebrity in our culture, it's because Oprah's parents intended to name their daughter Orpah, except they misspelled it on the birth certificate, and so that's how Oprah became Oprah. Meanwhile, back in Moab, Naomi has to plan three funerals because her husband and two sons die, leaving Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth as widows. Naomi decides to move back to Israel. And she told her what? To her daughter-in-laws, stay here in your home country. And the idea is, and the fact is, that Orpah decided to stay, and it's a sad time in the family. But let's pick up the story there. Stand with me for the reading of the word, would you? We're in Ruth, page 412 in your church Bible, and we're in the first chapter, if you will, and we're in verse number 14. Everybody there, say amen. Amen. At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Look what she says. Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness this past year. Lord, you've been so good to Ron and I and the people of the church. Hasn't been without its trials and tribulations for many. But Lord, you have been found faithful to each and every one of us. I pray in this simple message and in this series on adjustments, may you create a hunger for what is in store for our lives should you tarry in 2022. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't approach it with fear, because we've been stating it, Lord, as our church message for the last year and a half plus. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we don't shrink back. We step forward and we say, whatever you have for us, Lord, help us to be found faithful and to adjust in a spirit-led way. Pray your favor in these next few moments. Thank you for everybody that came out after the holidays, Lord, to receive from you. Those watching online that are hungry for your word, Lord, they didn't come to hear a man. They came to hear a word from you. So if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful and awesome name. And everybody would say,
amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. We'll come back to how the story ends, friends, a little bit later. But I want you to see what Naomi experienced because of these major life adjustments she endured. And in the next few moments, I want you to look at three laws about adjustment concerning what you and I are going to face. And then I want you to look at one law about our Lord regarding adjustments or change, if you will. Number one, I want you to see this. Adjustments are difficult because we recognize we aren't in control all the time in life. Look what it says at the start of chapter one. Now Elimelech, that was Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Naomi had these life adjustments forced upon her, and then forced to move multiple times. And then her marital status changed, and she became a widow. And when her husband and sons both died, all three of them, she lost rights to every bit of property. That was the Jewish culture. So her financial condition was changing for the worse. Some of you have faced very similar changes over the past few years. You may be facing changes even today. I would submit to you, let's all agree. Sometimes in life, you know what? There are changes that we have control over that don't bother us. You can change your hairstyle, ladies or men. You can change the furniture. You can change the paint color in your house. You can change the car that you drive. Those are easy changes because those are changes you chose, right? But adjusting your life is hard when you face changes that aren't of your choosing. Men have the reputation, especially at this time of year when there's multiple sporting events on, that they're control freaks because they like to hold on to the remote control, right? Men don't like to watch what's on TV. We like to see what else is on TV. But the fact of the matter is, whether you're male or female, you like to maintain a level or a measure of control over your life. Many life changes and adjustments happen that aren't of our choosing. It reminds us that in great part, we're not in control as much as we'd like to be. Number two, adjustments are difficult, but adjustments are also painful because we move out of our comfort zones. Look what it says in verse number 20 again to repeat what Naomi said. Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." Naomi said, "I might as well change my name from pleasure to bitterness because life is full of pain." And everyone's first reaction to change or adjustment is what? It's resistance. Great preacher, Southern Baptist man by the name of Zig Ziglar. He said, "Nobody likes change except a baby with a dirty diaper. And even he cries." Change is painful because it moves us out of our comfort zone. It moves us out of our pattern making as creatures. We create patterns and then we become comfortable in those patterns. And those patterns don't change. Soon those patterns can become ruts, however, right? We get stuck in ruts. Somebody said a rut is just a grave with both ends kicked out. But one of my favorite characters, I read a book a number of years ago about the theology of peanuts, Charles Schulz's creation. And it was all based upon really the idea of theology can line up sometimes, or the peanuts caricatures or cartoons can line up with good theology. And he was right. One of my favorite characters is Linus. Linus loves his special blankie, right? He's not going to surrender it. Lucy tries to make his life miserable and take his blanket away, but Linus refuses to give it up. It's his security. It's his comfort zone. And most of us are the same way. We have our own personal blankets, and we don't like anyone taking them away. Thank you very much. That's the way I want to be. You say, well, not really, Pastor. I'm not that way. Oh, I bet. You tend to sit in the same place. I came in to the worship room today to pray with the worship team, and the Schwindemann girls, the sisters, Rebecca and Julia, are both sitting on the same chair. I said, ladies, we do have multiple chairs in this room. They said, this is my chair. Both of them, this is when I lead worship, this is where I sit. They would not give that up. I said, I'm using you as an illustration today. But you freak me out if you change sides of the sanctuary. The Smiths do that occasionally. It really bothers me, I got to tell you. A lot of times you're there, but sometimes you're way over there. Don't do that. But we do. The fact of the matter is that you have your spot. And then sometimes you come in, if somebody's sitting in your spot, you might frown, you might rumble a little bit. Hopefully you don't say, get out of my seat. But you like your seat. Adjustments are difficult. Adjustments are painful. Adjustments can be beneficial because they can lead to a healthier place. You ever heard the expression, no pain, no gain? The phrase is used often by fitness trainers while they're torturing someone who's actually paying them to help them suffer. Coach I had in basketball used to say, you know what, Trask, that pain that you're experiencing is weakness leaving your body. I think he was lying. Had a trainer one time tell me, you know what, lifting weights, if you don't feel a burn, then you're not building muscle tissue. And the same is true, I would submit to you, regarding adjustments. It hurts. But if you can handle the change correctly, it can lead to gain in your life. George Bernard Shaw said, progress is not possible without change. And those who cannot change their minds will never change anything. Mark Twain said, loyalty to a petrified opinion never broke a chain or freed a human soul. When we're going through major adjustments, we can only think about the pain. But if you really trust God, you can look ahead to the gain. Have you ever noticed this in the Word of God? There's many that are here today that you've studied God's Word longer even than I have. And the fact of the matter is, if you study the Word of God, every great character in the Bible who was greatly blessed also had great challenges. I've discovered a repeated pattern. Something that it's not original, but I've kind of tweaked the idea over the course of time. And it's what I call God's blessing equation for people. And usually a person, when God blesses them, he gives them a promise to hang on to. Say promise. Promise. Jot that down. God's promise for their lives. And then along the way in life, they experience problems. Say problems. Problems. This is God's blessing. God, you have God's promise, then a problem or problems come into your life, and then also is added to that individual, not only with God's promises and God's or God the problems in life, is also God's provision. Say provision. You start out and you've been given this promise, and then the second stage is problems, but there's also provision. Look at the two out of the three that are really good. God's promises, God's provision. Those are good, right? Thank the Lord for God's promises. Thank the Lord for God's promise. I've often said, that if Brighton Assembly ever changed its name, I would ask the church to change the name to something given to covenant, because God's a promise-keeping God. I like the idea of Christ Covenant Church, if you will, or something along that line. But look at this, that you see God's promises, God's provision, but anybody that is going to be blessed of God and live in the blessing of God, they're going to have to be able to adjust with problems. My Old Testament favorite character, along with my wife, has to be Joseph. Not Jesus' earthly dad, Joseph from the book of Genesis. Joseph had a dream that all his older brothers would be bowing down before him. That was God's promise. But Joseph was a long way from being ready to see the fulfillment of the promise or the provision. The problems came after the promise. He's beaten up by his brother, sold into slavery, falsely accused, serves time in jail. And those are pretty painful changes that he had to go through. But Joseph never stopped trusting God. And eventually God delivered on his promise. He's serving as the prime minister of Egypt, and his brothers do bow down. The promise is fulfilled. Are you with me? Say amen. We see it. They did bow down. And you might be right in the middle of the equation today in the problem stage. If you're going through a painful adjustment period, rejoice, because God may very well be ready to bless you even today. I'll repeat that again. You're going through a problem? Stand on the promises of God, because you are ready, you're maturing, God's getting ready to see that promise fulfilled in your life. Adjustments can be beneficial because they can lead to a healthier place. Now, remember what I said? Three ideas about adjustments concerning us, and a fourth one regarding adjustment with our God. In times of adjustment, God is our refuge, because he does not change. He needs no adjusting. Can you say amen? Amen. Look what the word says, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. There's a theological doctrine called the immutability of God. And it's a big word that simply means this: God doesn't change. He doesn't change because he can't change. Oh, he could change if he wanted to, but the fact of the matter is, he doesn't need to change. He just doesn't. He's perfect, and why would you try and improve upon that, right? By contrast, we have to keep adjusting and adapting because we are imperfect people living in an imperfect world. I've always enjoyed being on the golf or being in a body of water that you are able to go body surfing. And one time when Ron and I were in Hawaii, she bought me, it was for our anniversary, she bought me a surfing lesson. And my surfing instructor was this gal. She was about 4'10", and she was built like a fire hydrant. And her name was Stella. And I mean, Gracie, she put me through. I thought she was a former drill sergeant, quite honestly. She yelled at me, "Get up there, preacher!" After 1 hour, I was like, I'm going back to my wife over here, man. But I love to body surf. And this past summer, Rhonda's folks took the family, very kind to take them out, us out to the Outer Banks. We had never been out the Outer Banks. And the Outer Banks are just kind of a couple of slivers of land that are sitting off the coast of North Carolina. Nag's Head, Katy Hawk, of course, where the Wright brothers taught us how to fly. But Eli and I got in there, and Eli was bought a boogie board or a body board, wave board, by his mom. And Daddy was left on his own. Eli just went across those waves and had a great time. Man, some of those waves coming in, one day they just shut down the whole beach. They said, no public swimming allowed. But I tried to body surf, and that thing just tossed me hither and round. Sometimes I got so disoriented, I didn't know whether I was up or down. And change can be the same way in your life. If we don't handle adjustments in life correctly, we're going to become dizzy and we're going to become disoriented based upon what's going on in the culture or what's going on in our personal lives. So I want to face the waves and the adjustments for the future with three ideas and three truths about God, and then we'll close. You can hang on to these regarding adjustments. And would you try and be with us each one of these Sundays? Because we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to adjust our lives moving into 2022. And three truths about God regarding change in 2022 is this. We need to, when we're unsettled by adjustments, we need to confess these three things. God's love for me will never need adjusting. It'll never change. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You may not feel comfortable or very lovable at times, but that's okay because God loves you anyway. We all have good days and bad days, but the truth is, God loves you on the good days, and he loves you on the bad days, and he doesn't love you any less on the bad days than the good days. That's a breakthrough for a lot of Pentecostals, quite honestly. God loves you as much when you've done the wrong thing as when you've done the right thing. Does he want you to do the wrong thing? No. But he doesn't love you any less. It's not conditional love. You can't earn his love. He loves you warts and all. God knows every stupid thing that you've ever done. And he still loves you as if you've never goofed up. God knows these stupid things, and God's love for you isn't based upon your performance. It's based upon his character. And God's love for you is written in his divine DNA, and it never changes. Some of you have been burned by love. Somebody told you they loved you forever, they lied. They changed their mind, they stopped loving you. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29, God is not a man that he should change his mind. I don't like double negatives. I try and work on my English because I need help on it. But let me put it this way. God can't not love you. Say it with me. God can't.
God can't.
Say it nice and loud. God can't.
God can't.
Not love me.
Not love me.
Why do you say it? Because God can't not love you. He must love you. And there will probably be family changes in 2022, financial changes, national changes, world changes, but there is something that is steady, and it is the fact that God loves you and he won't stop loving you. Secondly, God's word will never change. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. That's awesome. God's word doesn't go dormant like grass, doesn't wilt like flowers. It's always fresh. It doesn't go stale. It never goes out of date. And as I read the word of God, I try and read it every day. I would challenge you to get into a reading program this coming year. And the fact is, what I'm realizing is I've been a student of the word for 40 plus years now. Should have studied it more when I was even younger. But can I tell you, this is what I've learned. That the word of God becomes more relevant as you get older. It's more relevant today than it was 10 years ago, than it was 100 years ago. And the fact is, the news, it just keeps getting newer when you look to the word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, Jesus talked about the difference between a fool and a wise man. The fool is somebody that ignores God's word and doesn't obey it. The wise man is the one that receives it based upon even change going on, the storms coming into life. They adjust, obeying the word of God. Can I tell you, when the hurricane came, the person that had obeyed the word of God was like the person that had built his house upon the rock. And you and I, God's love is not going to change, and God's word is not going to change. So hold on to his word as a resolution, but also let it be a revolution for your life in 2022. Third idea, and we'll close as the worship team comes back. God's plan for me has not changed. Psalm 33:11. The plan, say the plans. Say it nice and loud, the plans. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generation. I've always loved the four spiritual laws that were birthed really by a great man, Dr. Bill Bright. And the first of the spiritual laws is this. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Before you were born, God had a plan for your life. The Bible says, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Now our plans, right, hear me, they have to be altered. They have to be adjusted. We have to change our plans. We change our plans for a couple of reasons. First, we can't see the future. We don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow, much less 10 years from now. But God doesn't have that limitation. He knows the future, and it doesn't surprise him. I'll repeat that again. God knows the future. He knows every minute thing that is going to happen in 2022, and it doesn't scare him a bit. And because it doesn't scare him, it shouldn't scare us. One expression that God has never uttered is this. You ready? Uh-oh. Never has. Second reason that we need to change our plans is because the fact is that we don't have the resources, in great part, to execute the plans that we might have. You might make a plan that I want to plan to have $1 million by Tuesday, but the fact of the matter is, you're going to have a pretty hard time pulling that off, right? But God's able to carry out his plans because he has no limitation of resource. Through the years, I've heard people talk, and they've asked two questions, and I'll close with this idea. They frequently ask the question, can I miss God's plan for my life? And my answer to that is absolutely. Unfortunately, many millions of people miss God's plan for their lives through sin, through disobedience, through neglect, arrogance, apathy, ignorance, whatever it might be. All at the end of their life, they say, you know what? I want to call the shots. God will never force his plan upon your life. He's given you a free will. He's given me a free will. He didn't create us as fancy robots programmed to just say, I'll follow you, God, without me making that choice. And secondly, I have people ask me this. Can I get back on track after wasting years of my life? And my answer is the same. Absolutely. You might have taken a lot of detours and found yourself at dead ends. But the fact of the matter is, God can meet you and lovingly and patiently put you on a new course where you're going to be fulfilling exactly what he intends for your life. Remember when we were so excited 10 years ago when the GPS systems were created for cars and now on everybody's phone? And when you make a wrong turn, what does it say? It doesn't say, you stupid idiot, what are you doing? It says, hey, rerouting. And that's what we need in our lives. When we've missed it, the Spirit of God gently tugs at our hearts. And he says, you know what? I want to redirect you, Brad. You got off course here. I want to redirect you, reroute your life. Now, in closing, stand with me, Bright. I want you to go back to the life of Naomi. Remember the pain and the anguish? Just call me Mara. It's just a terrible life. because all of these changes. She gets back with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, to Bethlehem. And in the midst of the pain, eventually Ruth meets a man by the name of Boaz, who's a distant relative of Naomi's late husband, Elimelech. He's qualified, Boaz is, to be the kinsman redeemer so that Naomi will get all of her property back. And it's a great love story of Ruth and Boaz. But I want you to see the final result of Naomi. Look at chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. He will renew your life and sustain you in old age." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Did you see it there? The adjustments in life are hard. Some of you have had hard adjustments this year, previous years. But Naomi discovered that even amongst the adjustments, God's plan can always be beneficial to our lives. And if you had asked her up front, if she would have said, "You know what? Do you want the adjustments?" She would have said, "No way." But Naomi ends up with a new grandbaby. And this wasn't just any grandson. His name was Obed. And Obed is going to give birth to Jesse. And Jesse is going to give birth to David, the king, the greatest king in Israel, who's also in the line of Jesus. God never makes a mistake. Would you bow your heads with us before we close in prayer? Rhonda prays a benediction prayer over the body of Christ as we close out 2021. With every head bowed, every eye closed, and those of you watching online, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord, just go to brightonag.org/next steps, and we'll lead you in a walk with Jesus Christ. brightonag.org/next, and we'll lead you in that walk with the Lord. If you're here in person, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, or you look back and you say, "You know what, Brad, I have fouled things up so greatly. God could never love me." Can I just tell you, that is a lie being told you by the enemy. The Lord loves you today. He cares about you. And he has a plan from this day, December 26, 2021, till you go to be with him for all eternity. And all you have to do is say, "Lord, forgive me. I surrender to you, and I want your will to be accomplished. Forgive me of my sins, and I want to be in right standing with you." If there is somebody here today in the sound of my voice, just slip up your hand and say, "Brad, would you pray for me? On this day, I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm just going to wait a minute." If there's anybody here today on this Sunday morning, this is your day, friend. Or if you're watching online later in the week, today's your day. You can surrender to Jesus this hour.